Excuse me, this is the conference operator. I'd like to inform all parties that this call is being recorded, and if you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Thank you. You may begin.
Okay, let's get this started, please. And operator, please restart the session.
Excuse me, this is the operator. I'd like to inform all parties this call is being recorded, and if you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you very much. Can I ask councillors to come back to the table, please? And I will remind everyone that the working lunch isn't now. It's at 1 o'clock. Yes, this means you. Marika's bought us some chocolates, councillors, so if you want to come back to the table, we've resorted to bribery to try and get you to do some work. Okay, so this session is one that we wanted to have to hold some just open discussion on. Starting point would be, leave my chocolates. The starting point would be the motions. We have two motions on our agenda for Wednesday. But Mary, in the agenda that you'd sent, and by the way, I forgot, I mean, this is unforgivable. I forgot to say a big thank you to both Mary and Glenn this morning for having worked so hard on the Singapore agenda. Sit down. Thank you very much. Mary, on the agenda that you'd sent round, I think you had a couple of other topics, if memory serves, that you wanted to suggest the council discuss during this session. Mm-hmm. Can you just remind me what those were?
So the first item I had suggested that the council consider starting a discussion, even if the outcome of this discussion is we don't want to talk about it, is the recent NTIA letter to the ICANN chair about VI. And I know Adrian and I had a bit of an exchange about it, and I just thought that if other councillors wanted to at least talk about whether we want to talk about it, we might want to have it on the agenda. And the second item was the issue of developing country assistance. And since this is something that one of the groups that we co-chartered is working on it, and it's still a live issue. It is certainly a live issue at this meeting, given what's going on this weekend. I thought we could take the advantage of us all being here face-to-face with the community to talk about how we as the GNSO can continue to guide that process.
Yeah, I think that's... I'd love to have that discussion and clear up, or at least... in between us on the council, have a discussion about what happened in the run-up to this meeting and the discussions that we had around the working group that's tasked with providing support for developing applicants from developing countries, not potential developing applicants. Sorry, it's my English is going. I think I'll pick this up in French now. Is that okay with everyone? Because I'm getting tired already. Yeah. I'm not going to say that, what you just said, because no one heard it, and that's probably better. So let's start the discussion going. Bill?
Well, just to say I would strongly support discussion on both the points that Mary just mentioned, and especially the latter one. I think that it goes beyond optics, but the optics is certainly a central concern, and I would think that this is something that we need to have a public visibility on that clarifies exactly what the thinking has and has not been in the council and what our process is, because talking with other people in the community, I'm finding out that it turns out that there are people who actually don't really spend all their time following the details of the internal GNSO council discussion processes. It's hard to imagine, but it's true. And so they're kind of interpreting in a sort of Rorschach test way what where our intentions are, etc., in ways that I think are not entirely helpful. So I think we really need to do this in a very much more transparent and open way.
I agree that there's obviously an optics problem. Let me start by just running over what my understanding or what my reaction was to some of the stuff that's been going on. And notably, you'll all remember that we had... the council got an email, a message that was sent telling us that there would be a meeting on the Sunday, which is part of our working weekend day, obviously, to prepare for a summit dealing with developing countries and how to best involve them in the processes that are going on here at ICANN. And that's obviously the subject matter itself no one can disagree with, I don't think. So certainly any of the reactions, the personal reactions that I had to this were... things that were mostly looking at, well, exclusively looking at the process. So first of all, when we got that request, and remember in the request we were told that we would only be allowed two participants from the GNSO Council. So my initial reaction was twofold. Where does the request come from? Is it an official board request? And how are we expected to select two members in 2 weeks? Asking those questions led to the answers that the request wasn't official. It was a private or personal initiative. And we also saw on a parallel track a request for a meeting between the JAS working group and members of the board and the GAC, and I don't know if it was open to anyone else, I forget, just to, as I understand it, and I'm looking at Rafiq, just to make sure that I'm not saying anything that isn't true, just to answer questions that anyone might have on the work of the JAS group. And so those two, that was the initial environment. And out of that came an email by one board member defending the very laudable principles of what's I've just explained. But also, it seemed to me, implying that the GNSO Council had not been working fast enough, and I think this goes back to the optics question that you've just raised, Bill. not being working fast enough to look at the jazz working group's work. And at that point, I felt it useful to remind people, if we're dealing with optics, it has to work both ways. And I think it's useful to remind people that the council is working according to its own set of rules, that we're not at liberty to just change when it suits us. And I don't think it's fair to portray us as having been slow to look at specifically the issue at hand. There was a second milestone report that came out of the Jazz Working Group. Rafiq had put out a motion. It had been asked, there had been a request to defer it for one meeting. We considered it at the next meeting, and it was approved unanimously. So I think we worked within our processes there, and that was the point I was making. So I mean, the basic thing is that I do agree with you, Bill, that there are optics on both sides of the issue. And we probably haven't done enough of a good job of, I think that's what you're implying, of telling people that we have nothing against the work or the issue. But on the other hand, maybe people don't understand what our processes are. Adrian.
Yeah, I agree, Stefano. I also don't know that it's necessarily just about the processes. I think it's also about what the GNSO Council represents. There's no one single voice within the GNSO Council. So it's always, you know, we have such a diverse group of stakeholders that make up the council, all with competing interests at times. And so there is always going to be challenges and debate had, you know, on particular topics, and that takes time. When a report can be read by one group with one interest and then supported and proposed as a report, then of course that happens a hell of a lot quicker. So not only is it about processes for dealing with that, I think folks need to understand that the GNSO Council represents a diverse group of the community. And as such, two things. One, that's going to take time to get resolutions. However, two, when you do get resolutions, they should speak louder. And that wasn't French, by the way. Louder. Yeah, so hopefully, you know, that's maybe what we need to be communicating to the community here, is that, you know, we are a complex group by definition.
Merci beaucoup. So I have Christina next.
This issue really gives me a headache. And I will just say at the outset that although I agreed with the sentiments that you put in your email, I can understand why some might have been concerned that having it come from the chair of the council, albeit in his individual council capacity, would be imputed to the council. I guess part of what, to me, it seems as if there's kind of two other things going on here is, first, it really irritates me, frankly, that the council is getting the heat for this. There are councillors on that working group. There are former councillors on that working group. They are fully aware of what our working deadlines are. And if they wanted to make sure that we were in a position to consider this report by a set deadline, they should have just worked the math backwards and figured out the date by which it had to be delivered to us. So to the extent that that wasn't done, I don't think that's necessarily, I mean, that's just not a failure of the council. The other issue that I have is that this seems to not be the first instance in which individual board members might be taking the opportunity to kind of foster, I'm not really sure how to characterize it. I don't want to sound dismissive of it because it's a very important issue. But I'm just concerned that there seems to be this developing practice of board members kind of reaching down to the policy level and saying, this is an issue that I personally care about, so I'm going to start kind of circumventing the usual processes. And it just seems to me that if there is, in fact, this pattern developing, we need as a council to decide whether or not we have a view on it, and if so, to articulate it.
So I find it very interesting that you start off by saying that perhaps The way I said what I said was a bit too strong, but then you actually make statements or even stronger.
I'm not disagreeing with your sentiment.
No, I realize
that. I'm just saying that I can understand why folks might have been concerned that in your capacity as council chair, that that would automatically be the voice of the council. As
and I actually understood that as well. I mean, at this point, I really agree with all the sentiment that you've just expressed. And I think that both, once again, just highlighting the fact that this isn't against the issue or for the issue. I'm not getting involved with the issue. My intent is to defend the GNSO Council as much as I can when I feel that it is being treated unfairly, and I think what you've just highlighted is true. I am fed up with the council taking heat on this. Why should we take heat on this when we're just following our processes? I am keen to explain to people, if I can, and I try and do that privately as much as I can, that the council is not in any way against the sentiment that we should help developing countries. I've never heard a councillor tell me otherwise, so I can give my own personal sentiment that I'm not against it. And I don't think the council should be some of what I've heard is that the GNSO council is frankly against the Jazz Working Group. I don't think that's true. I've never heard a councillor tell me that was true. And at one point, I just feel that, you know, the council's working within what it can do, within its timelines, within its constraints. I think you are touching on another important fact, that some personal initiatives coming from other groups and even the board, you know, we don't know how official or unofficial those are, but once you get, for example, the suggestion that a summit be organized in Africa, then you have to start thinking about who's going to pay for it, what resources are going to be used to organize it and everything. And, you know, these are questions that have to be asked. So, I mean, I didn't go into all that, obviously, but these are questions that we might want to ask ourselves and that are being raised here. Sorry for going on. Alan.
When we talk about council timelines, I think we have to remember that the world didn't start with the second milestone report. There was a first milestone report, and the council had plenty of time to ultimately do something with it, and it didn't. The council rejected a motion to pass that on to the board. I don't remember the exact wording. It never passed a counter motion saying we reject it and disavow, and do not accept the working group results. So part of the history in how the community is reacting to this particular instance, when the timeline was short and it was impossible for council to act any faster, is the recollection that council chose not to do anything with the first milestone report. And that set the precedent that this was viewed by some as just another incarnation of that time. With regard to something Christina said about board members sort of jumping in and circumventing council processes, I think a lot of people would strongly object to that kind of thing. On the other hand, I think the concept that we're seeing now of board members occasionally getting involved in discussions, not in the official capacity as representing the board, but in their own, representing their own ideas, is something we should be celebrating, not.
I did not hear Christina say what you just said at all. I didn't hear her say the board members are circumventing council processes. Did you say that?
I did hear that word.
I didn't say that they were. It just seemed to me that you could interpret some of this as doing that. And I fully agree with what Alan is saying, is that if a board member feels strongly about a particular issue, by all means, I don't mean to suggest that they should kind of sit off on the board in kind of this walled tower, but I think there needs to be very clear delineation as to when they're speaking in their individual capacity as someone who just happens to be a board member and as somebody, really more to the latter in their capacity as a board member. And I think that was a line that was blurred here.
I support all of that exactly. We don't. If somebody is empowered to speak on behalf of the board, fine, let them. But just using their power and authority as clout, I don't want to see. On the other hand, there's little purpose in working on policy things which are going to ultimately be rejected by the board when it gets to it. Mm-hmm. It's better to find out early what the thoughts are and I won't say be guided by them, but take that into account during deliberations. That's something that we've sadly missed for a long time here, and I'm happy to see it happening on a few occasions.
Thank you. Wolf.
Thank you. 2 points. The one as reaction to Alan's comment on the timeline. I don't think we should discuss that too much because timelines are on both sides. So I personally have also raised questions to the report, to the JAS report, and it took time to answer them questions, which I appreciate because it takes time within the organization to organize for answers. And this also takes time within the council to come to an opinion with regards to motions as well. That's one point. The other point is with regards to the optics. As you know, on the list, I fully supported what Stefan was answering to that. But after I have read the answer of the board member of Katim, then it came to my mind that we should be very careful with the wording in future in order to avoid that it could be seen or it could be understood in a personal way. So for me, it came up from when I read this letter from Katim that he might have been touched in a personal way. So that was my feeling in a certain way. And that should be avoided in the future. So we should really be just pointing to the facts and what we are discussing and avoid that anybody could be touched in a personal way. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
I'd like to two things. First, and I guess this goes to Alan's invoking history. The perception of the way the council has approached these issues is not simply in the wider community. I think is not simply tied to the timeline, which was very compressed, and how quickly we did or didn't respond to the second report, and so on. Anybody who had paid any attention to the discussions that we have had about JAS since Brussels would be aware that the tone has not generally been very positively inclined. I mean, everybody's saying now, okay, well, we all support the objectives of JAS and we think it's a great thing, whatever. But much of our discussion has been about the procedural problems people had with the way community working groups were operating, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there hasn't been a lot of, like, positive, wow, this is an important initiative for ICANN to be taking up kind of vibe coming out of our discussions. And I think people read that. Now, there's all kinds of legitimate reasons why that would be so. Different stakeholder groups have different perspectives on what types of actions are appropriate and how they should be managed, et cetera. That's all fine. But nevertheless, I would just say that it's not like just a fabrication or whole cloth misunderstanding, et cetera. People are reading the kind of dialogue we've had and not seeing the same kind of general disposition towards the activity that is manifested in other quarters. That's one thing. And whether it's right or wrong, that's clearly effective. The other point I would make is, about this.
Welcome to the conference calling center. Please enter your numeric passcode followed by the hash sign. If you require assistance during your call, please press *0 and a coordinator will assist you momentarily.
Okay, thank you, coordinator. and the second point, though, I want to Christina's point about the individual initiative and so on. I won't defend the particular way this has been launched or handled or framed, et cetera, by the board member in question. That's his responsibility. He's done it the way he wanted to do it. But I think that I wouldn't view this as just something like one person's individual interest. I think that anybody who deals with the GAC, deals with governments and so on, knows that, in fact, there's very broad and deep concern among developing countries about not just applicant support, but a whole variety of issues about the interface with ICANN. And this does go to the GAC's general disposition towards, you know, the new GTLD launch and so on. So it's relevant. And to want to try to finally get off the dime and start sort of an organized conversation about this, I think, is a good idea. Whether it's being handled particularly well is another matter. But I wouldn't sort of dismiss it as just, you know, some kind of like personal interest, individual initiative thing, when in fact I think it's responding to a lot of undercurrents of discussion in many quarters that may not be internal to this room, but that are out there and part of the community.
Thanks. I also think there's a misconception there, even within the council, that I don't think anyone's attacked or dismissed, this because it's a personal initiative. Once again, I would expect the council to support its own procedures. I would not expect anyone to, with reference to what you just said earlier on, as you said, that there's a feeling that the council didn't jump up with joy and start working on the JAC. That's something that I, you know, would never get into in any discussion, because that's not, in my view, it's an issue thing. It's not something, you know, the only thing that I want to look at when I'm defending the council in any way is just the process, the way we work, and just explaining to people the way we work so that people don't think that we're working, we can do things that we can't, or that's all the only thing that I expect to ever have to defend. But so the perception that you described, that you know, people feel that outside of this room, people feel that we haven't jumped for joy on this and maybe we've dragged our feet, I'd go back to what Adrian was saying earlier on. We are a diverse group, and some people probably feel positive towards this and others don't. But I wouldn't even go any, personally, I'm not getting into that at all. So I'm just, you know, trying to make it clear that the only issue I had was that I felt the council was being attacked in process-wise. And I think you have probably constantly brought a very useful vision of how the outside world sees the work that we're doing on this to the council. Andre.
Thank you, Stefan. I'd like to say, first of all, you're doing a good job protecting the council. Second, actually, it was expected. I mean, this letter came as no surprise. I mean, if you read the earlier post in May, it was basically expected, and the reason is very simple, as I understand it. I'm trying to get out of the politics, saying that the council was composing a message to the Peter. We spent the months writing a simple letter with five sentences that we get the report, you know, we're reviewing it, that's it. And from the outside, as well as from the inside, from me personally, I think we're all professionals. It's just bad work in terms of timeline. First of all, there was no deadline for this letter to send out. There was no final date, you know, we have to finish the letter and send it out. Second, it was too long, basically, for such a simple message. And if you look from the outside, you know, for some maybe not very experienced board members, this looks like, you know, slowing down. And it's based on the common sense. There is no politics around it. But people will attack council, will attack you, attack us, because of these long timelines and the perception that the council is trying to slow these things down. That's it.
Thank you, Andre. Adrian, à toi.
So the CEO in me is coming out here, Stefan, and this is all really good conversation, but I think it boils down to four major issues. And I think if we're going to actually get something out of this conversation, we should try to bed these down and look to not repeat the sins of the past. So the four major issues as I see them are the fact that Stefan van Gelder, as an individual, commented back to the board and CC'd the chairman and whatever. So there's one discussion there, and I think we should at least try to get locked down a position that says, how do we feel about that and what should be done in the future about that happening?
Number two is the contents of your email, and I think that's being addressed and discussed now, and dealing with directly with this issue of Katim and the Jazz Working Group. Number three, as I see it, is going forward, how do we deal with these multi-stakeholder working groups or joint working groups, and how do we ensure that the processes are followed within them, reports are published in the way that we want to. We ought to lock that down as a result of this conversation. And number five... Wow. And number four, is the optics. And that is, I believe, trying to ensure that we promote the intentions of the GNSO Council, the processes of the GNSO Council, to the community, such that they understand that there are, as I spoke about earlier, differing opinions and so on and so forth. I think if we can get those four objectives locked out, and at least in this conversation or via email afterwards, then we've accomplished something. Otherwise, whilst the conversation is great, it's just rhetoric, guys. And we really should... This has been... some really key things have come out of this. And unless we try to actually pull something out and get a deliverable here, we're just chewing up our time. And quite frankly, I could go and get some lunch.
I think that's very useful. And I think the first step might be for you to send those 4 points to the list if you can. That might be useful. I have Tim next.
Well, I guess we can follow Adrian's game plan there down the line, but just a few comments in regards to some of those issues that I had. And maybe some of this has come up earlier, but I just want to point out that the very first thing that Stefan said in his email was that this is my personal view. That's the way he started it. He signed that email as Stefan, not Stefan, chairman of the board. I'm probably interested as anyone in the fact that the chair does not speak for the council as a whole unless that's been predetermined beforehand. On the other hand, what I hope we don't delve into is how can we muzzle the chair so that he can never speak without feeling like we're going to attack him later for everything he said. So, and I know that's not the intent here, but I think that, how far do we need to go for the chair to be able to say, this is my personal view, here's how I feel, and say that, there it is. He has to have a way of being able to do that. Otherwise, none of us are ever going to want to be chair. I know I would never want to be, and not that that's ever going to be a problem anyway. But I don't think we can muzzle the chair completely. So I hope we don't attempt to go down that road. So I can understand a little bit better after hearing some of the things that have been said, why there might have been some concerns with that. But I think overall... I really didn't have any problem with it and certainly agree with Stefan's attempt to try to defend the board's processes. And just in regards to the processes, a lot has been said about it and, we pay too much attention to process, we're too slow, it takes too much time. And I think, a lot's been said about why that is. But I think, another reason is so that we as a council can later defend the decisions that are made and the policies that come from us. Because if we don't follow processes, if we don't have something we can point back to and say, yes, we did A, B, C, and D, then how can we defend later and say, this is a valid consensus process? And don't forget that in both of the contracts with the contracted parties, registries and registrars, we can challenge whether or not a policy did have consensus. And if you didn't follow the processes, it's going to be difficult to do that. And I think that could be the same in regards to any other policy, whether it's consensus or not, that's derived from not just the DNSO, GNSO, but from ICANN as a whole. So I think that's a caution that should be taken, not taken lightly. And then the last thing is just the idea about the board getting involved in policy work. Personally, I think it's a huge mistake. So I don't agree, Alan, that I'm excited that board members are getting involved in some of these things. I think what it does is it creates a potential conflict of interest, or at least an appearance of conflict of interest. And I hope they give that some serious thought. Now, I don't know in regards to Katim here if, later he's going to excuse himself when the board gets down and decides to vote on the Jazz Working Group recommendations. But, I think there might be a case where some of us could make an argument that we think maybe he should have if he doesn't. In the same way that Bruce Tonkin stepped aside and didn't vote on vertical integration. So I think that getting involved in policy, I don't know, maybe there's some place for that to happen for board members, but I think if they cross a line, then what they've done is they've set themselves up later to create a potential appearance of conflict of interest, or perhaps even a direct conflict of interest, later when they go to vote on those things. So I think there's a reason why our bylaws are written the way they are. If the board has an issue, there's a process in the bylaws for the board to raise that issue with the council. One of them isn't, you know, well, we want to start a community working group. Let's get the council to approve this so that later we can come back to them, garner this 2/3 vote so we can claim later that all of the processes were followed, yet when in reality none of them really were. So I think that we've been eking kind of down this road where we're allowing some circumvention, whether it's intentional or not, whether it's by appearance or not, of our processes. And so I think I don't blame Stefan for getting concerned and wanting to defend that. I certainly want to do that. So those are my thoughts. And again, this is we move towards this discussion about how the chair can speak. I don't want to put a muzzle on his ability to be able to defend us in that way.
Thank you, Tim. Adrian, you want to come back on this specific point?
If you don't mind, thank you. So I'm confused, Tim. We don't want to muzzle the chair, and I'm okay with that. Yet Stefan comes out and says in his first line of his email, this is a personal email, right? This is from me personally. If I had have sent that email and CC'd Peter Dengate Thrush and everybody, how would you guys have felt about that?
I'd be perfectly okay with it. Don't tell me, Adrian, that we don't do that all the time. You're going to tell me you don't talk to board members?
Uh-huh.
I know I do.
Anybody here
doesn't talk to board members? Do we reveal that? Do we share that with each other openly all the time? I don't think we necessarily do.
Okay. So I'm just trying to... I'm not speaking one way or the other, and believe me, I am cautious over the representation. That's all I am. Outside of the contents and what was said and everything, I'm completely supportive of that. But I am just... want to get clarity for my sake, and I think, once again, to try to speak to some of this deliverables is how do we want either A councillor to act or B our chair to act going forward? We should use this as an example and build a template for how we want to interact in the future. Otherwise, we've wasted this opportunity. So I'm just trying to get a feel for that here.
I would appreciate, actually, getting a better feel, and I'm very... although I'm extremely supportive, obviously, of what Tim has said, I'm very also eager to get guidance if official. I mean, if the chair if being chair means you never have the right to speak, even when I've always tried to be extremely transparent. I've always, sent everything that I get from the board or anything to the council list. I've always told you everything that I'm being asked to do as chair, or even in my own personal capacity, for the last 6 months since I've been chair. So I've tried to be as transparent as I can. I do feel very strongly about the GNSO. I care about it, and when I feel that these processes are being attacked, I have a great deal of difficulty personally not saying anything. I feel I care about what we're doing here.
My response to that, Stefan, from my point of view, is I'd like to see you respond as chair. I voted you into this position, as did the council.
And yet you're saying that I shouldn't respond as chair.
No, I've never said that. All I said is, in this, without understanding what has happened previously, without knowing, I just want everybody to agree on the way forward. So I think going forward, I'm happy to say that I voted you into this position. If you want to go forward and have a shot at the board, or you do whatever you want to do and put forward an opinion, I agree with Tim is we shouldn't be muzzling you to do so. Where you can, I think you should be directed to try and share your view with the council beforehand. However, if the circumstances are such that you need to respond quickly, I'm happy to back you on that. And what I think we should do is, as a council, have an opinion. And if everybody subscribes to my point of view, that gives you some direction going forward. That's all I want to do, is so that you don't upset anybody next time you want to say something, or you feel restricted that you can't say something and we miss out on the opportunity. So I'm just trying to get a level set of expectation here. So I'm happy to go whichever way the council wants to go. But my opinion is, for what it's worth, and maybe to start the debate, is you say what you want to say. Where you can share that with the council, do so. where you can get direction from the council, do so. But it, so long as you can justify the reason why you couldn't do that, then go ahead and say something.
I have Jeff next.
Thanks. I support what Stefan had did in his capacity as, even though he said personal capacity, I think he could have said it as chair, because I think you were defending our actions in the GNSO. I agree with Tim completely on his position. I think that this issue, frankly, new TLDs as a whole, as a policy issue, this has thrown all of our policy development process in complete disarray. Every process we thought we ever had has been turned upside down simply to fulfill timelines either by the board or interests by different groups or individuals. This has been probably the worst case study for policy development that you could ever take. Or maybe it's the best, actually, because you could see everything that could possibly be done wrong to throw everything in disarray. I want to address something Alan said. He said the council did not vote to send a milestone report to the board. When have we ever sent preliminary reports or milestone reports to the board? Some of us made that point very clearly. This is an unfinished product. Normally, when you send something to the board, it's for the board to take action. This has been this is the craziest thing. And when I made an attempt to point that out, I was portrayed by some on the council, by some in the groups, the Jazz Working Group, as being someone who completely did not support developing economies, that I was a nasty incumbent that wanted to keep out competition. When the only point I made is it is totally inappropriate to send a preliminary report, an unfinished report, to the board. We've never done it with anything else. We should never do it going forward. It's a preliminary milestone report. And people turn that around into saying bad incumbents want to keep out competition. And maybe that people were using that for their own political gains to say that. It just wasn't true. I will say that when I sent my last comments to the council on the motion that was before us to send that second milestone report, I was probably the most careful in any email I've ever been in my entire life, because I knew that people were going to take that email and just say, oh great, there's another incumbent that doesn't want competition, that wants to delay new GTLDs. I mean, everything has been said, which totally is completely untrue. And I rewrote that email, and I hate to have to think about every word I use on how that's going to be interpreted by people that are not in the council. And then sure enough, after I sent it, there were some emails in the Jazz group saying that who cares about the GNSO, they just want to block everything to begin with. The other point I want to make is Stefan is on a bunch of lists, whether we like it or not, and I think it's fine, but others may not, whether it's with the GAC, whether it's with other groups inside of ICANN. As the chair, he's put in those positions that he has sent emails as the chair. And we need to not muzzle him. We need to let him speak. And if we don't like what he says, then we can question it after the fact if we think that it was against the GNSO mandate. But we cannot be in a position where Stefan is muzzled or the chair is muzzled at all to speak what they believe is coming out of the GNSO. And for us to even start a discussion, first of all, I think it's completely inappropriate for anyone on the board to come in and blame or say that the GNSO processes are too slow. It's kind of the pot calling the kettle black, right? for the board, who is not necessarily known for moving that quickly, to talk about the GNSO not moving quick enough is just incredible. So I support what Stefan said. I think it was right on. I think we can't muzzle him. And so to address the 4 points, Stefan, right, you said as an individual, we should never prevent Stefan from talking to the board. Everyone here does it in different ways. The content of the email was fine, I think. And going forward, we're addressing it. Adrian on the third point said, well, how do we deal with cross-constituency working groups going forward? I think we have a way of dealing with it. I think Jonathan is leading that subgroup and is going to come out with concrete recommendations. And I think the optics, look, we're not going to be able to do anything really about the optics. People are going to take what we do for their own gain or whatever their interests are. They're going to use it that way. And we just need to concentrate and focus on the work that we need to do.
Thanks, Jeff. Checks in the post.
Rafiq.
Vaut mieux tard que jamais. Hein? I think we are at the end of this session, and I will try to make a short comments. I heard many times that the council is having hit about the jazz working group. From my perspective, I am getting more that hit from the council, Tiena Council, many times about the jazz working group, and it's not just disappointing, but it's deceiving that many times my fellow colleagues accused me that I'm not following the process. I think hopefully we overcome that. And anyway, the problem with the jazz, I think, that why the community have such perception how the Genasu Council is dealing with the jazz, I think this started especially with the charter issues. I think we spent more than 3 months. I can understand that stakeholders, groups, the council, all the those community, I don't know how to call them, need time to decide, but it was 3 months to decide about an extending charter. So I'm not sure how the council can carry a message about that to the community that is it's supporting the work of one of its working groups. I heard the comment of Jeff, the last comment of Jeff. I am really sorry that he felt accused in the jazz mailing list. I just want to say that it was a personal view of one member of the jazz working group, and don't think that people share that. So I am really sorry about that. And also the comment that Wolf made about Wolf Erdős about the questions. Yeah, I understand that it took times to prepare the answers. It's not that easy for the working group to work to finish to try to finish a report, because a tight timeline, and also to try to reply to many requests at the same time. And I hope that you understand that, and that I get your comment as a complaint, but I want to explain to you that it's not easy to handle many issues at the same time for working group, for people committed, volunteers committed to work in such tight timeline. Thanks.
Rafiq, are you done?
Thank you for your mind. I wanted to comment to you, Stefan, when you talked about the summit. I really felt offended when you said that you are going to pay for that because it will be in Africa. I want that the people in the community to understand that the whole ecosystem of domain names exists because there are registrants. And so let's not talk that it's registrar or registry are paying for the ICANN budget, and let's focus that we need to include people from the developing countries in the ICANN process if we want really this ICANN to be really internationalized. Thanks.
Yeah. Just to clarify, I never said that. I asked two questions. Who's going to pay for it and what resources are going to be used? I never said that I was going to pay for it because it was in Africa. I mean, that's just a total mischaracterization of what I said.
No, the question can be understood like that. That's my interpretation.
Okay. One of the things I should have said, though, coming back to your earlier point, is that you have done an extraordinary job on this working group, and that's something that I omitted saying earlier, and I should have said. And I know, as Jeff mentioned, I'm on a lot of lists. I'm also on some of the lists that talk
about this group, and I know the strain and the stress that working on that group has meant for you personally. So I think, once again, process-wise, the council has to support the people that it puts on these groups. And you've probably felt, I think, at times, that you've not had enough support from the council. I do think you've been doing an extraordinary job in difficult circumstances, and perhaps there's not enough GNSO representation on the group. But then, saying that, we will touch on another issue that's a totally different one that we'll probably have another conversation, which is the fact that we're just so overloaded that some people probably don't, you know, we've no longer got any time to work on everything. But I just wanted to say that to thank you for the work that you've done on the Jazz Working Group and are continuing to do. Alan and then Mary.
Okay, I know I'm between you and lunch, so I'll be quick. On two issues. Number one, Jeff's comments. And I'll disagree slightly with Rafiq. There's more than one person who was attacking Jeff and a number of other people pretty personally. I and a number of other people publicly and privately tried to change that. That doesn't help matters any. All of that is notwithstanding, council could have acted differently over the various timelines. Yes, council has not normally submitted interim reports, but we did this time. Processes can be changed when the situation warrants it. So how the first milestone report was handled, how the charter, many charter iterations were handled, set a stage which resulted in the final product here. I think we have to take it all into context. Regarding Tim's comment on Kateem or someone else having to recuse themselves if the Jazz issues ever come to the board, and comparing that to Bruce having to recuse himself on GTLDs or something, I think I just think this is a misrepresentation.
Well, my point is, Alan, is I don't know that Kateem doesn't represent a group who hopes to get funding reduced in an application. You know, I don't know that.
If I may finish, the conflict of interest guidelines are pretty clear. We're talking about fiduciary interests. And if indeed Kateem or anyone else on the board is ever going to put on a hat related to asking for support, yeah, that better be made clear. But I would hate to be in a position, and we've had the same discussion about GNSO counselors working on working groups and then voting on the product of the working group, so it's almost the same thing. If we ever get to the point where we say, if you have a particular interest and knowledge in a subject, but no fiduciary interest, you better not be part of the decision-making process. I don't want a board where all the people who have any knowledge or interest aren't allowed to discuss something. I think those are the very people who we want to hear from and be involved in the process. So I think we need to be very careful when we talk about conflicts of interest to be what kind are we talking about. I agree with you, Tim, that if someone is going to have an interest in that thing financially or even non-financially but in a personal sense, that's a different interest, different from having a personal interest in it. Thank you.
Yeah, just so I can respond to that. You know, the difference with the council and the board is when it goes to the board, it's done. So the board has a fiduciary responsibility both legally that we don't have, and they also make the final decision before a policy goes into place. So if that ever comes back to us as being our role, then I would agree with you. But I think until that happens, you know, the board has a different responsibility for, you know, optics, as we keep saying, that we don't necessarily have. And, you know, as far as the working group stuff is concerned, you know, all the problems we have with that is because we don't have any kind of process or description in place for community working groups. We're winging it. We're winging it all the way. So, you know, do we do interim reports or not? Well, you know, we do in this case because something. This isn't a normal, typical. This is one of our typical policy processes, right? And you know, the same with some of the issues. And I feel really bad for Rafiq and several members of that working group, because I think they take a lot of heat, or feel like they're taking a lot of heat, when it's not really directed at them at all. It's just directed at frustration over this whole community working group thing. And I know this of maybe a few others. For myself, I feel sort of like I was pressured into, you know, getting involved in that and approving it at the council level, for optics' sake. Before we actually resolve some of the issues surrounding those community working groups. So we really need to get to resolving that at the council level, and then hopefully within the community as a whole, so we don't keep getting into the situation. And those who truly are volunteers, because some of us, let's face it, are better compensated than others for being involved in this work. So it's really sad when some who truly are volunteers are involved heavily, and then they get, you know, it's like, well, why did I waste my time, or I'm spinning my wheels? We don't want that to happen. So we really need to get this community working group issue resolved.
Thank you. And I have Mary, and I think we should probably cut the queue after you, Mary. It's 10 past already. I'm sure people are hungry.
Thanks, Stefan. I'd like to move us away from this discussion of process, politics, and historical excavation. Not that it's not been a good conversation, but it's something we might want to continue in the wrap-up meeting, because I think that we are all agreed, and several people have stated today, that the work of the JAS working group is an important issue, that we all support that work, and that we feel the need to continue to support that group. So given that that is the consensus of the council, and given that we know developing country assistance is an issue of interest to, obviously, the GAC and the board themselves, not necessarily just individually through board members, but through Peter in his communications with us officially, they have said that's a board, there's a board interest in the issue. I would like to suggest that we, as a council, send a message to the JAS working group simply to that effect, that it is an important issue, that we support your work, we continue to support it. It may or may not do anything, but I do think that if at all, we at least agree on this and make that statement, because then some of the optics and some of the issues that Bill has highlighted to us, they may not go away, but they may at least be seen to be addressed by us to some extent.
Thanks, Mary. As this discussion is drawing to a close, can I ask you to take that suggestion, just like I asked Adrian earlier, to the list, and so that we can pick that suggestion up from there. Thank you very much, all of you, for this discussion. Lunch is served just behind you over there, but those two doors lead to a room that we can use to have lunch in. Oh, it's out. It's in there. Okay, sorry. So we can have lunch in there. We are supposed now to be having a working lunch to discuss our meeting with the board. That is later on today. So perhaps we can break for a few minutes just to give people time to have lunch.
Stefan, before we close, we had three topics in the session. I just want to make sure we close on each of them. One was the board resolutions, one was the NTIA letter, and one was this one we spent the significant time on. Just how do we close on each of those, the other two?
The three topics was actually the council resolutions, the NTIA letter, and the one, and as you've noticed, we discussed one and not the other two. So on the council motions themselves, if there is further discussion on it, I would like to break for lunch, because lunch has been served for us.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting we don't break, just make sure we either close the session with knowing that two of the topics weren't covered. All
well, as we're having a working lunch to discuss what we're going to do with the board, if we feel we want to discuss the motions, then perhaps we can combine the two. And the other point that you mentioned as well, Jonathan. So perhaps would that be suitable?
That's fine. Just wanted to make sure we closed knowing what's left on the table.
Stefan, for clarity, is the working lunch in here or in there?
The actual eating goes on in there, but I suggest that we just, you know, take 10 minutes, have a bite to eat, then come back in here with our plates and continue to work.
We eat in here. So we eat in here.
Was that clear, or did that sound French to you?
Well, you said we're allowed to eat in there for 10 minutes, then have to finish eating in
no,
here.
Sorry,
why don't
sorry.
We just come back?
I wasn't clear. Go in there for 10 minutes just to have time to take the food that you want, and then come back in here. Thanks.
I thank you for the clarity.
Operator, this session is now ended.
Are you directing us as chair there, Stefan, or is that you personally?
That is my personal capacity asking you in the nicest way possible.